done before 7:30, okay? So I'll get it within, you know, close to 15 minutes. But I do want to just emphasize a couple of things that have to do with what we're talking about. So open up your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16. This is one of the verses that's on the paper that you have. We just went over it, talking about the Word of God. Several times the Word of God has been noted as something to eat, something to digest, something that's sweet. It's wonderful. Tastes good. This is what it said. You remember the verse we read just a moment ago? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thank you, Lord, for this, your word. Thank you for how wonderful it is and how sweet that your word is. Lord, I know this is a project that is big. I don't know, I'm looking for the word I'm trying to say right now. But I know it's the aspiration of getting entire sections and chapters of the Bible in our heart to have them memorized. I know that's a huge undertaking. But Lord, you've commanded us to, we're supposed to, you told us the benefits of that, and there are so many, and I've experienced that, so many of us have. Lord, help us. Help us today as a church. Lord, I'm sure that getting into this and getting the compass of the Word of God in our hearts and in our souls is going to be helping us, helping every single boy and girl and mom and dad and adult and teen here, Lord. I just pray that you'd help us in this endeavor. Lord, I pray that you help us to see some things from your word right now that's going to help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And he says, they were the rejoicing of my heart. Sweet. It was wonderful. Let me show you another passage of scripture. It talks about the same thing, except it goes a little bit further. Revelation chapter 10, verse number 9. And I went unto the angel, and I said unto him, give me the little book. Now, we're not going to get into that in the context of everything else, but the little book that he's talking about are the judgments of God that would be coming upon the world. What God says, his actions, his commandments, his acts. This is what he's doing. And so it's, in effect, the word of God, God's will. And he says, take that little book, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. This represents the word of God, what God is doing. And it says, first, it's going to be sweet, because before it gets to your belly, it goes to your mouth. First, initially, it's going to be sweet as honey, but then it gets down to your stomach, it's going to be bitter. Look, verse 10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. This is a representation of Scripture, folks. You know this word that we're about to memorize? The word that God has wonderfully, marvelously given us? That's the Bible. He said, this is what he said. He take it, and he initially, when he starts to digest it, it's wonderful, sweet. But you know what? After a while, and it really becomes fully digested, it became bitter. It's representation of the Scriptures. We understand how sweet portions of the Word can be and how, but how in the world does the Bible, does God's actions become bitter? Well, let's take a look at it. Initial sweetness. You know, first take it in your mouth and it's sweet. What's sweet? You know, that the Bible has to say, what's sweet? I tell you what is wonderfully sweet is my salvation. When I got saved, I am so glad that I got saved. I look back in the time that I was hanging on a thread before hell, and God plucked me out of that, and I came to believe, and I came to trust in Christ. And you know what? That first day, and I began to have a relationship with the Lord. He became my heavenly Father. How sweet. Nothing sweeter. I mean, that was wonderful. I remember the very first prayer that I got answered in my life. Sweet. Knowing that God listened to what I was asking for. My Heavenly Father noted my condition and answered my prayer. And when He answered and He came through, and I'm there sitting there going, whoa! That was a wonderful time, folks. That was sweet. the victories that I've seen in the Lord, where he says, go this way, trust me, and I would trust him. I'd step out and he'd come through. Wonderful, wonderful things. Listen, when we get to heaven, talk about sweet. Did you ever think about that? Les Garrett, who passed just last week, I love that guy. He loved the Word of God. And you know what? He's there. He's fellowshipping with those who have gone on. No more maladies. No more fog in his mind. No. Think about it. Every problem that you have, gone. You know what I could do? I can snap my finger here. I can't snap this one. You know why I can't snap this one? Because I got this stinking joint here that is a real bummer. I can't squeeze anything. I can't push a door, you know, like a car door like this, because of something that's wrong with my joint here, and it's been there for years. It's like arthritis or whatever. And you know what? The more and more I go, the more things start falling apart and not working. And it's just a bummer. It's a bummer. And, you know, you can't walk right. Or, you know, you sit down for a long time and then get up and you realize something's wrong with the picture here. And listen, all of those maladies, I'm talking about little things, but listen, folks come into some real difficulties. And those that get older and older, they tell me, it's a bummer to get old. Don't get old, you know. Hey, we're all heading there. And you know, all the maladies that we have, gone when we go to heaven. I'll be able to snap my finger here on this one, you know. Hey, listen, it's going to be a whole different ball game. No sinful nature to contend with. Aren't you glad we're going to be going to the place where we're not going to disappoint the Lord any longer? I can't stand disappointing the Lord, and I do it too often. I hate it. But it's this flesh that I'm dragging around, and it's still with me, and it's just so aggravating. You know what? I get off into heaven no more. Not going to be dealing with that anymore. It's gone. Won't have a heart that's going to be pulling me away from the things of God. Hey, that's going to be gone. No restraints, no limitations. When Jesus, in his glorified, in his resurrected body, he walked through a room with a door that was closed and locked. How did he do that? I don't know, but the body that he had that was glorified had no limitations. He was there, and boom, gone. He was there. You know what that means? That means I'm going to be doing some traveling when I get into my glorified state. You know, it's going to be really, really cool. When I think about heaven, there's so many great things, sweetness, things that are associated with the Lord. And you know what? The Bible tells us about that. And you hear about that, you learn about that. Man, it's sweet. It's wonderful. You can't think of anything better. But then that's the initial sweetness. But then, and you know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to have that initial communion with the Lord. Be in his presence. I mean, be in his presence. No longer hearing about. No longer this by faith. You know, we sing about that song sweet hour of prayer. You know, this time that we come right now, we have communion with the Lord in a special time by faith. Not by faith then. It's going to be by sight. It's not closing your eyes and communicating with the Lord. No, no, it's walking up to him and communicating with him. We're going to enjoy the presence of God that no other human could ever approach unto. You remember Moses, in that day, he spoke with God face to face, as God said, as a friend does with his friend. And even with that kind of a relationship, Moses wanted to see more. He knew that God was muted, or God was dimmed, because he couldn't stand the full glory of God. And he says, God, I want to see you. I want to see who you are in your strength of glory. And so you remember that whole story where God says, well, nobody could do that and live. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll show you my backside. Puts him in the cleft of the rock. We sang about that. I think we sang about that today. He put his hand over that portion in the mountain, and then he moved, and he took his hand away where he was able to see a muted glory of God. And you remember when Moses spent the time in God's presence like that? He come down, and his face was actually glowing. It shone. Wow. Folks, you know something? We're going to be in the presence of God. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I don't know. I do know this, not a one of us have ever experienced that. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to having that kind of a fellowship. Never before have we communed with God as Adam experienced in the garden. He walked with God. Hey, folks, it's going to be restored. We're going to be able to walk with God. Hand in hand, I don't know, but I tell you what, it's going to be wonderful. But in taking in all of who God is, we're going to also have that communion. We're going to understand more clearly His holiness, His righteousness, and His justice. Folks, He is called the great and terrible God. And He's called the great and terrible God for a reason. Romans chapter 11, verse 22 says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." You see, the same book that tells us of heaven, the same book that tells us of the glories of heaven and what we're going to experience, also tells us of this nightmare called hell, this place where a person goes no more to see the mercy, unavailable to him any longer. A place where it's an insane asylum that goes on forever and forever and forever and forever in the torments of hell, folks. It's indescribable. Every time I try to put my mind around the fact of hell, it's awful. It's terrible. It's the same God, folks, who is good, who is also the God of justice. When you understand that, both the goodness and the severity of God. See, we're going to have that communion initially. You know, when we hear about the things that God tells us about the glories and His victories and everything else, heaven, it's wonderful, sweet. But you know what? There's that ultimate horror. When we understand, this is where we experience the full fruit of believers' foolishness. I'm talking about you and me when we go over to the other side. We cross that threshold. Don't you know that there are going to be believers with regret? Do you know what regret means? Regret means I feel terrible for walking that way that I did. I feel terrible for not listening. I feel terrible for missing the opportunities. Regret, just regret, hating the pathway that you have gone that you cannot erase. You see, it's a place where we'll see the full fruit of our sorrow. Loved ones who maybe not make it. See, three times in the Bible, God reveals that there is going to be a time that He's going to need to comfort His children for their bitterness of soul. Isaiah 25, verse number 8, "He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord will wipe away all tears from all faces." Revelation 7, 17. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living foundations of water, and God," notice, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." My favorite verse in the entire Bible, Psalm 21, verse number 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Boy, do I love that verse. But it does say this, folks. It says that the people of God will have anguish of soul, bitter tears that God's going to have to come in and heal. Tears will need to be healed because of the hard truths that they represent that have to do with God's children. The truth that comes from the Word of God, initially sweetness in your mouth, but then when it's digested and you see your loved ones to be taken away forever, that's a bitter pill, folks. The truth is that we have the sweetest truths ever made known to men, and within the law, we also see the hardest realities ever. Wake up. Wake up. It's time. Believer, it's time to wake up. Just like what Paul said in, Romans chapter 10. It's high time that we awake. You've been sleeping long enough. You've been in this stupor long enough. Quit walking like you're going to regret it later. Hey, give it all for God. Because the Bible is sweet to the initial taste. But there's some hard truths, folks. I don't want to regret. You know what? when I step across that threshold, I'm going to say, I'm so glad I did. Not, I'm so sorry I didn't. Let's wake up. It's from the Word of God. This is the Word of God that is so wonderful, so sweet, but it's so hard. So let's pay attention. Let's pay attention to what God says in His Word. Every head bowed, nobody looking for just a moment.